Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This is the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN Radio. Alyssa Lang filling in for Paul on this Friday afternoon. It's been an SEC-heavy show. I'm an SEC network gal. We're getting ready for media days going down next week in Atlanta starting on Monday. And there's going to be a player in attendance there that so much of the SEC has fallen in love with, and really the rest of college football as well. Certainly the area up in Lexington, Kentucky. Of course, I'm talking about Kentucky quarterback Will Levis going into his second year with the Wildcats. And he's been moving up the draft boards in this offseason. So far, Mel Kiper has him 22nd on his 2023 NFL Draft Big Board. Here now to talk more about Will Levis and what this next season could do for his draft potential, Trevor Sikkema of Pro Football Focus. If y'all know me, you know I know Trevor really well. He's also happens to be my fiance, and he also happened to interview Will Levis earlier this week, put a great piece out on PFF.com. Trevor, welcome in. We had to get you on the first Feinbaum hosting show, right? Like, this had to happen.
No, I appreciate it. I've got Food Network on here in the living room in the background because I know that you hate when I'm watching Food Network all the time, but you're not here, so you can't yell at me for it.
So, okay.
No, it's going to be great. Yeah. It'll be a good time.
Because I yell at you. I do not yell at you. I only yell at you when we're on hour 8 of Diners, Dive-Ins, and Drives, because it's just like nobody needs to watch Diet Triple D for 8 hours. I'm sorry.
I'm going to push back on you forever anytime you put a cap on Triple D. I'm just, yeah. You know what? That's what we're going to have to live with for the rest of our lives. And that's just the way it is.
Whatever. If that's the worst problem that we have, I feel like we're doing pretty good. If anyone has any future marriage advice for me, though, on avoiding Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives and beat Bobby Flay all the time on the TV, please let us know. That being said, let's talk about the article that you put out on Monday about Will Levis. Just start talking about your conversation with him. What was he like to talk to? Obviously, he's going to be doing a lot of these types of interviews going throughout the season, then the pre-draft process. So what was your overall takeaway of talking to Will?
Yeah, I mean, this is no surprise to anyone who has been following Kentucky or the SEC over the last year, but Will was awesome to talk to. He's such a unique individual. He's such a great dude. It was a lot of fun both talking about football and things that he is interested outside of football. And honestly, my biggest takeaway, since I'm doing this interview kind of with a draft focus, an NFL draft focus, is he is ready to stand out. That is who he is. You know, whether it is the 24 touchdowns or 3,200 total yards, you know, taking Kentucky to a 6-0 start last season, bouncing back after a 3-0 skid in the middle of the year, he is very comfortable being that leader, being in that position, being the one to do that. And then, of course, off the field, unfortunately, you know this all too well, whether it's eating the banana with a full peel on or putting mayonnaise in your coffee or anything, just making people laugh, standing out in certain ways. Will Levis is very comfortable standing out. And it's just such an important trait, both on and off the field, when you think about drafting a franchise quarterback, a face of the franchise, if you will. And something, you know, a motto I learned really early on when evaluating the draft is you're drafting people as much as players. And for the quarterback position, that means even more because they are often the ones who have to stand in front of the media after not just the best wins, but the worst losses. You know, when things are not going well, how you're going to handle yourself. Are you okay with being that voice that can represent for a team, being the one to stand in front of a crowd, to take the attention, to use it in a positive way, all this kind of stuff. And Will just seems so comfortable doing that already. And I think that's a really important part of what he is going to go through now on a national stage in his final year of college football and then towards the NFL draft as well. So that was honestly, among so many great things, what really stood out to me the most about him.
You know, I think back to SEC media days leading up to Joe Burrow's final year at LSU and how he won over the media and won over the fans sitting there at the podium basically saying, yeah, we're going to go out there and rip it. And he wasn't afraid. And I feel like that's could be the performance that maybe we get from Will Levis at SEC Media Days next week, because as you said, that's who he is. He's a fun guy to be around, but when it comes to game day, he's one of the most intense players that I've ever had the opportunity to not only observe, but talk to in the thick of it, especially when it comes to the middle of SEC play. One of the things that I know you talked to him about that I really want to get into, not only with Stoops next week, with Will next week, but as we look forward to covering more Kentucky football when the season arrives, is the amount of offensive coordinators that Will Levis has had over the past three seasons. You go back to Penn State, he's got a different OC there. Then he's got Liam Cohen, his first year at Kentucky. Liam Cohen now back with the Rams, back at the NFL. So now bring in Rich Scangarello, another NFL, former NFL assistant, but now a third straight different offensive coordinator for Levis. How is he handling that?
Yeah, I mean, if you go back all the way to the very beginning portion of his time when he was at Penn State, this is the fourth offensive coordinator that he is going to have throughout his college football career. And I asked him about that question, you know, how are you approaching this, or what it's been like working for so many different offensive coordinators? And you know, he's got a level head on his shoulders. He understands that there are legitimate pros and cons that come with this. Obviously, the downsides to it are you're never really familiar in a system, but I guess that's really not so bad when you think of Will Levis's situation, because it's not like he's been a solidified starter up until this point anyways. You know, he went into Penn State, redshirted the first year, was in a quarterback battle with Sean Clifford, ended up losing that quarterback battle, could not regain that. So when they were switching coordinators there, it wasn't so big of a deal. Comes over to Kentucky, and a big portion of why he loved Kentucky is because Liam Cohen was there as offensive coordinator. Certainly there were many other things, but the allurement of Liam Cohen, who comes from under Sean McVay's wing with the Los Angeles Rams. He was their quarterbacks coach before he popped over to Lexington for a season. Now back with Sean McVay this year as their offensive coordinator, getting that kind of knowledge from him and really preparing himself naturally for the next level as he gets better, as he gets to win it and have success at Kentucky, was really important. And, you know, there were times where I asked him, like, hey, there are instances where, you know, whether it's Liam Cohen or Coach Skangs, like he calls the new offensive coordinator, were there opportunities where they said, hey, you remind me of this guy in the NFL or this play? And he said, absolutely. Talked about how sometimes they'd be going through a play and he'd say, hey, remember when we went through film and we watched Matthew Stafford do this? Okay, that's how I envision you taking over this play, the result that I want to see. Remember what Stafford did. I think you have the ability to have similar success with those kinds of plays. And so, you know, when you think of the guys that are offensive coordinators for him now, they've worked under Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay. I mean, it doesn't get any better for quarterbacks. It really doesn't. Those are the two of the best quarterback whisperers, if you will, that we've got in the pro game. And so certainly he doesn't have that familiarity, that continuity that you would get normally when you have an offensive coordinator for multiple years. But he also takes it as an advantage because he has heard so many different phrases, terminologies, how things are put to you when you make it to the next level, when you are an NFL quarterback, what is expected of you, how you can communicate better to the rest of your team. He's already now got a head start. He's not even in the league yet. So not only is kind of what I talked about earlier, him being comfortable being a face of the franchise, he also, with his background in these two offensive coordinators most recently, has a good the ability to really just hit the ground running, I guess is the best way to say it, when it comes to the NFL. And all of that is just going to help his stock and increase what could be a really high first round draft pick for him if he has a great year coming up.
We're talking with Trevor Sikkema of Pro Football Focus. Recently wrote a piece this week on Kentucky quarterback Will Levis. And Trevor, we were kind of joking at the beginning when you first jumped on that, you know, you're constantly watching Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. But I know that that's not necessarily true, because leading up to this article, you were watching a ton of Will Levis tape. So when you're not watching Triple D, I know for a fact you're watching tape. That being said, Where are some of the areas that Levis needs to improve this year? Is it taking too much contact for NFL head coaches' tastes ahead of the 2023 draft? What are some of those things that he has said and you have seen that need to improve?
Make no mistake, we also talked about food during our interview. So, you know, we actually chatted about an eating contest that Will won when he was at Penn State. He said he went up against the offensive lineman at Penn State, and Will Levis, going back to what you were talking about, such a competitor at everything he does, he out-ate the offensive lineman a couple of times when they had eating challenges there. So don't worry about that. We got the food question in there. But when it comes to how he needs to get better on the field, he said it himself in that article. It's a decision-making thing. And, you know, I think that decision-making can sometimes be an easy answer, a cop-out answer for quarterbacks, but he was able to kind of articulate exactly where he really needs to get better and how he has been getting better at it. You know, you look at last year, it's his first year really as a solidified, unquestioned starter, right? Even in the times that he was in practice at Penn State, when he would get starter reps, he's always got somebody over his shoulder. It's hard to be as confident as you want to be, or even learn from your mistakes the way that you need to when you've got somebody over your shoulder. I know some people say, hey, competition can bring out the best and you want guys to shine. Yes, that's all true. But there's something to be said about when a job is yours and you get to fail and you get to learn from it and become better. I think that last year was really that first year for Will to be able to do that. He said he's had the chance to go back, watch a lot of film this past offseason, and he said there were plenty of times where he made a throw and he just said out loud to everybody in the room, he's just like, what am I thinking? Like, this, that throw is so out of place from the other good throws that I made in that game or in that drive. And it's just, he has to learn that you can't really have any of those. It's got to be mitigated, all of that stuff, because one throw could be the end of the drive, could be the end of the game, could be the end of a chance to get a victory. And I think that coming up to the table, the film room, if you will, with that as a mindset, more importance, being able to keep the ball in your hands, in your possession. Yes, he's going to have those opportunities to hit deep down the field. He's got the big, powerful arm. And trust me, he was confident in saying that he believes he can make every throw on the field. And I believe it as well. But sometimes the script doesn't call for that. Sometimes the defense doesn't call for that. And that's nothing new, right? We're seeing it in the NFL. Guys like Patrick Mahomes, guys like Josh Allen. Defenses are playing these too high coverages with your safeties deep, saying, hey, you got to beat us underneath. And Will Levis wants to become that quarterback that can beat you underneath. And then once those safeties start to creep up again, he can hit you over the top and be dynamic in that way too. So he's really focused on that kind of decision-making, those kinds of plays when it comes to reading the defense, making sure the ball gets to where it needs to with the right playmaker.
Talking with Trevor Sikkema of Pro Football Focus. You can follow him on Twitter at Tampa Bay Trey. Also my fiance. So where are you taking me for dinner tonight when I get done with this show? Have you planned that yet? Where are we going? I'm going to be hungry.
Yeah, no, look, it's already handled. It's already handled. We're gonna get a good ribeye since we converted you. Woo! People listening need to know that you used to be a filet person.
Yep.
Now you have seen the light.
Yep.
That a good ribeye is better than a good filet. Like best for best. So we'll get you a good ribeye tonight. It's the weekend. We'll make it happen.
You gotta get a little fat in there. And you showed me the light, and now I'm a ribeye gal. Trevor Sikkema, thank you so much for joining me on the show. I'll see you a little bit later.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
You can check out Trevor's article on PFF.com. Again, an extensive sit-down with Kentucky quarterback Will Levis, who I'm so excited to see continue his journey in Lexington this season. I was there for week one last year, and I remember Coach Stoops saying, look, all I want is the offensive stat sheet at the end of the game to look even. I don't want us to be running the football for 350 yards and throwing for 45. It's got to be more even. And sure enough, bring in Will Levis, bring in Liam Cohen. Mark Stoops does not get enough credit for making the changes that he has to this Kentucky program to keep them up to date with the rest of the SEC. Now Kentucky's offense is a threat through the air and will likely continue to be in Will Levis's second year with Rich Scangarello. Also, again, coming from the NFL to be the OC in Lexington. We do have to take a break. When we come back, we've got some more callers on the line. We will get to some of those. And, of course, continue to get ready for this college football season coming up in just about a month and a half or so. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN Radio. Alyssa Lang here filling in for Paul on this Friday. It's time to take some calls. Matthew from Texas has been sitting patiently on the line to talk some college football. Matthew, what's going on? Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Alyssa. Big fan from Texas. I listen when you're on the SEC channel every day. Big fan of that show.
Thank you so much for saying that. I appreciate it. It says you want to talk Horns versus Tide. What do you think about that matchup week two?
I think it's a big lift for Texas, but I think it's going to be a better game than what people think it is. Alabama's going to be what it is, but I think it's going to come down to the lines for both offensive and defensive lines for Texas. I think Texas has a lot of skill positions. There's a big question mark at quarterback, but I think they're going to be up for it. They did when they played LSU, when they played Burrow. It wasn't enough, but I think it's going to be a good game.
All right.
We're ready for them to join the conference.
I was going to say, I had to ask, you're calling from Texas, but you referred to them as they. So are you a Bama fan, I assume?
No. I'm at Bama will be what it is. They're going to be great. I was talking about Texas. The offensive line for Texas is – It was not very good, nor the defensive line. So, but they've really recruited well in those two areas. So the hope is that the lines will improve because the skill positions are so much better at Texas than it has been before.
Absolutely.
With Worthy and with Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you look at Texas's schedule last year, and if things go a certain way, certainly in the fourth quarter of some of those games, we're looking at a very different record by the end of the year. This is a Texas team that is going to have the opportunity to really use this as a measuring stick game, as you said, against the Tide, because the Tide, they're going to be the Tide, right? Bama and Saban are going to come in prepared for this one. But we're going to get a really good preview of this Alabama-Texas potential future rivalry in the SEC. Matthew, I'm so excited. I hope you enjoy the game. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. We got another caller on the line, someone who I don't even know how he got through the phone line. I don't know who gave him the phone number. Georgia fans know him well. Former Georgia women's basketball coach Andy Landers, who I've shared a studio desk with for quite a while. Landers, what are you doing? Just driving around calling into my show? Like, what's going on?
Hey, your show. It's your show.
Today?
Are you kidding me? That's
today?
What I'm doing. I'm trying to figure out what the devil is going on. Paul Feinbaum. Now, if Paul is Paul, that makes you Maul. So Maul Lang is hosting the Paul Feinbaum Show, and you must be scared that all those guys in that club, I forget what they call that club that Paul's got, that call in and cuss each other out, that they're going to call because you text me and tell me something bad's going to happen to me if I don't call. You get Stitch to call, and then you do an hour and a half segment with your fiance, and you talk about stinking pork chop. And I'm going, what is this?
Did you listen to the first 12 minutes of that segment? The last 60 seconds was about ribeye. You can't,
no,
come
I,
on.
I muted it. I muted it. I mean, it's a fraud. It's a fraud. I muted it. I said, she just got her friend, her fiance. She's so scared that those jokers down in Alabama are going to call in and give her the business. She's lining up all of her friends to do this.
Let me say that what Landers just said does not reflect what I think about the show. He's a Georgia guy calling the jokers in Alabama. Bama fans, you can't take that. Come on. You got to call in and defend yourself. Can I say, can I tell everyone what you texted me? You texted me, you kind of look like Paul Feinbaum before you called in. What is that? What is that about?
What?
You don't you play dumb now.
Now you start making stuff up when you're put on the spot. You're not handling it very well.
You're such a liar. You're such a liar. What are you?
Oh man, I gotta go. I'm done.
Okay. All right. He always hangs up on me. This man will call me in the middle of a Tuesday afternoon and I'll say, you know, Coach, I'm outside the grocery store. We've been talking for 58 minutes at this point. I'll be like, I gotta go, and he'll hang up. Oh, you don't have time for me. It's cool. Anyone who hangs out with us during basketball season knows that Andy Landers is an absolute gem of a human being. And again, Alabama fans, I guess you expect it from a Georgia guy, but he threw some shade calling y'all jokers. I don't know how I feel about that. Like, I'll play middleman. That's fine. I'm just glad he didn't cuss me out, but I think he's really just mad that we didn't book him as a solid guest. But shout out to Coach Landers for calling in. Sam from Kansas is on the line. Sam, what's going on?
I would like to know the difference. Like, you know how the Astros are, like, you know how they in college football, they like steal signs, you know, from different teams?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to know, what team reminds you, like, what team, would you like Clemson, Alabama, the good teams, for example? Recent history, do you think the stealing signs is like what the Astros did of the college football world?
As far as these games, like college football equivalent of stealing signs, is that what you're asking?
Yeah, like, you know how the Astros did it. I don't know if that's legal or not, or good or not, but in football you can do that though, right?
Well, certainly what the Astros did, as you said, not allowed and highly frowned upon. I think what the issue you run into with college football and the challenge of college football, specifically in the SEC, take offense, for example. Anytime anybody does anything new, these coaches and these assistants study each other so closely. And this goes for every sport. We talk about this in basketball as well, right?
Yeah.
They know each other so well that you don't even necessarily have to steal stuff, right? Like, you already know what's coming because of how much film you watch on these guys, season in, season out. Like, you bring in someone like Lane Kiffin, and you go back to, all right, what did he do at Tennessee? What did he do at USC? What did he do at Bama? All right, now he's probably going to continue to do stuff like that at Ole Miss, right? So I think it's a little different just in that environment of they already know. It's just, can we recruit the talent to actually put a stop to what the Kiffins and the Sabres and everybody across college football is going to do? So I don't know, but if anybody out there has an idea of what the true equivalent would be, I'm not sure I could come up with one off the top of my head. It's an interesting question. So any listeners out there have an example in mind, feel free to give us a call, 855-242-7285. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN Radio. Alyssa Lang here filling in for Paul. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. My first Paul Feinbaum Show. It's been so fun so far. We do have to take a break, though. When we come back, another very special guest joining the show. You know her very well from covering college football, covering college basketball. She does it all. ACC, SEC, she's everywhere. I honestly don't even know how she found 10 spare minutes to give to us here on this Friday. Andrea Carter going to join us coming up next here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Back here on the Paul Feinbaum Show, you're listening to ESPN Radio. I'm not Paul. I'm Alyssa. Thanks for hanging out with me on this Friday afternoon. We're getting so excited for talking season in the SEC to get underway on Monday. Of course, we're in the middle of it for college football. Somebody I know pretty well who's in the middle of college football, college basketball, the WNBA, the ACC, the SEC, she's all over the place. We took a pasta-making class together literally last night. Andrea Carter, you see her all over ESPN and the SEC Network. You know I had to get my girl on the first time I had to host Paul Feinbaum. Like it was non-negotiable that you had to call in, Dre.
Absolutely. You casually mentioned it, like, last week, I think it was. You were like, yeah, so I'm hosting Paul Feinbaum, and I maybe we can get you on. And I was like, there's no way she's going to bring me on. And here I am talking to you after, I'll say, schooling you in ramen cooking class last night. Yeah, 100%.
Was that really? Like, we're going to get competitive now over cooking ramen noodles? Like, we're competitive over enough other things. Now it's cutting noodles. You did a better job at cutting the noodles, I will say.
Yes.
I was kind of bad at cutting the noodles. They were a little too thick for my liking.
You did saute everything, but I just need to let the world know that Alyssa Lang does not use salt or pepper in her cooking. So in case you didn't know, no, I'm just kidding. Alyssa.
I just forgot. I forgot. It was literally a cooking class here in Charlotte. Shout out to Chef Alyssa's Kitchen. She's a big college football fan. She was actually on College Game Day this past season. The instructor was like, y'all did salt and pepper your spinach, right? And Drea looked up at me. She goes, Lang, did you salt and pepper the spinach? And I just said, nope.
Nope.
I forgot.
Solid. Nope. Okay, we got it done. Honestly, ours was the best. If we're going to get competitive, I think we had the best out of the whole class. Ramen was the best. So
easily. Absolutely. Easily. That being said, you know, we're together here on Feinbaum getting to fill in. I do think we need to make a case for a tandem hosting the Paul Feinbaum Show next time Paul's on vacation, because I feel like we could really out of pocket it up on this show. Just saying.
Absolutely. I think we would have so much fun with the callers between me and you, your ideas, my ideas, based on what they say. Like, we would throw a lot at the callers. They'd have to be ready for two opinions, two challenges, two levels of support. It would be legit.
They'd have to be ready to keep up, for sure. We'd also have to keep pace with them, because we know y'all on this show are passionate about your college football. So are we. So we would love to do that one day. For those who don't know, Dre and I, during football season, host a show Wednesday night on the SEC Network. This is an absolute shameless plug. It's called Out of Pocket. It's 60 minutes. We take you all over college football. We do really fun interviews with coaches, players, things that you don't typically get to do on game day, because obviously our game day faces are on, things are a little bit more intense. So it's a laid-back show, really, to just talk about how much we love college football. Andrea, that's been one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, because obviously you've been a sports fan forever. You played basketball at Tennessee, former Lady Vol, but last year was your first real season being embedded in the SEC, on the sidelines every single weekend. Now that we're several months removed and you're going into this next upcoming season, what was the best part? What were some of the best memories that you had? And what are you most excited for now this season?
Oh, man, it was honestly so much fun covering SEC football. Obviously, I've lived and breathed football my entire life. My dad was a football coach, so football's always been in my life. But then the SEC, when I'm at Tennessee and you go to the games and all of my friends were on the football team. And so you just develop a different level of love for it when you're there and you're in it as a student. And now to be in it as a sideline reporter and really get to know the guys and get to know the players and get to know the coaches. I can't tell you, every player I talked to, every coach I talked to was open and fun and honest and genuine. And it's, you just develop this connection to them. And obviously it's unbiased when you're reporting and you're doing your job, but just to really see the ins and outs, you know, I learned everything there is to learn, not really, but I learned a lot about what it takes to be a linebacker from Zakobi McClain, right? And I'm hanging out with Chris Rodriguez, and he's talking about important people in his life for Kentucky, Zakobi for Auburn. And I think for me, just being so close, like when you're a sideline reporter, you're as close as it gets to the action, to the plays, to the ins and outs. So everything that I thought I knew about football before has been magnified times 10 from my season on the sidelines, you know, watching the defensive line coach get after the group on the sidelines and really tell them things. And you're just in it and you're right there. And so you're kind of experiencing everything from a different lens. And so it was eye-opening. It was fun. I think the big moments for me, if I had to pick out some, I mean, first game ever was Texas A&M. It was a night game, 100,000 fans in the stands going crazy. I went to Yale practice. So talk about being thrown into the fire. That was thrown in for me for sure. And then doing a game at Neyland Stadium was almost emotional. I went to Neyland as a recruit. I was in Neyland as a student athlete. And then to be in Neyland as a sideline reporter was remarkable. South Carolina's comeback against Vanderbilt might not sound too incredible, but if you missed the game, trust me, it was unreal. Missouri's last second overtime play to win the game. They went for the touchdown. They could have went for the field goal. That was against Florida. There were just so many moments. It was a lot of fun. I can't even explain it. I had a blast.
I remember sitting on the plane coming back from wherever I was that weekend, because I don't remember where I was, but I remember you being on the call of that South Carolina Vanderbilt game, and my butt was on fire, just so stressed out with how that game was going to end. Obviously, as a Gamecock alum, I wasn't calling that game, so I felt like I was allowed to cheer a little bit, and I was like, man, I just knew your stress, because a lot of people don't realize in those final moments of a close game like that, you got to be in position to run after either coach, and you got to be ready to ask either coach about what just happened.
Yep.
Because you truly do not know what's going down. Yep. In that final 30 seconds, but you crushed it as always. We can't let you go without talking some basketball. You've been calling WNBA for the last couple of months. You called a lot of men's and women's college basketball this past season, but now being in the booth and covering it from a pro standpoint, we have so many players from the SEC shining at the next level. I know you're great friends with Ryan Howard, and Candace Parker recently, yep, just said she's just different. Like, she just hits different. What is it about watching the SEC talent that we cover every single week at the SEC Network, seeing them shine on the next level? What's the best part of that for you?
Yeah, I mean, the best part really when I'm covering the WNBA is I'm covering my friends. Like, I'm really covering people that I grew up with. I'm covering people that I'm close to and watching them at the highest level. They're so talented. Like, it really is ridiculous. What Candace said about Ryan Howard just being different is absolutely true. She's amazing. Candace Parker and the Chicago Sky have a team that is built like a well-oiled machine. And if you love the SEC, the Dallas Wings have like four or five SEC players on their team. The Aces have Asia Wilson. Phoenix has Diamond DeShields and Sophie Cunningham. These are players that I played with. They're players that I played against. They're players that I went head-to-head with or had on my team. So when I'm covering them, there's just a different level of appreciation for what they do because I experienced it, and they're the best. So the league is fun. The league is talented. The league is really tight-knit. And if you're an SEC fan, you should be a WNBA fan because the SEC is sprinkled throughout multiple teams, multiple players throughout the WNBA. So it's a lot of fun covering that league. Definitely a highlight for me every year.
Yeah, if you're familiar with women's college basketball, certainly on the SEC side, and you remember Sophie Cunningham, she's still the same Sophie Cunningham because she's been active, I guess, in the video posts over the last 24 hours, getting into it in the WNBA. Dre, before we let you go, you talk about people we're familiar with, people we know and love. I know you heard Landers call in the last segment. Like, did you hear him yelling at me?
I did. I heard him call you a fraud. I heard him call you fake. I heard him say that all you and Tampa Bay Trey talked about was roast beef or something like that. He dogged you. I'm not surprised. Coach Landers is the number two hater in the world. Number one hater just being like weird, random people that only like to throw shade at people on the internet. Those are like the number one haters that don't do anything but throw shade. Coach Landers is number two. Because there's no bigger hater than Andy Landers.
I was going to say, he's just mad that I told him, you got to call at 4:20 because we've got Dre at 4:30. He's like, oh, you couldn't let me be a guest? Like, he's a hater. You're right. And I hope he's still listening. And Landers, I hope you heard that. She's Andrea Carter. Like I said, you see her all over ESPN, the SEC Network. We'll be back together in the fall talking SEC football on Out of Pocket on Wednesday nights. Have fun at your next game, my friend. I'll see you soon.
Yeah, I'm excited. Listen, I have a lot of football thoughts. I might call in as a regular caller and pick your brain about all the shifts in the SEC, and I'm sure I'll see you next week or at some point. Thanks for having me on, bud.
I'll see you at the gym tomorrow. Call in if you would like to.
I'm calling back in. Talk to you soon.
She's Drea Carter. You can follow her on Twitter at Andrea_Carter. She's a great follow, great human, and has just become a huge star here at ESPN. So highly recommend following her work. We do have to take a break. When we come back, more college football talk right here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. You're listening to ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN Radio. Alyssa Lang here filling in for Paul. Thanks so much for hanging out with me here on my first ever time filling in on the Paul Feinbaum Show. It's been such a fun time so far, right about through the halfway mark here. Let's take a couple calls before we hit our next break at the top of the hour. James from Ohio has been sitting patiently on the line. James, you're a Hail State fan. Welcome in.
Thanks for having me.
What are you most looking forward to about this upcoming season and from Coach Leach?
Honestly, I'm just hoping that we build on what we had last year. Last year we went like 7-5, 7-6. We won three more games than the year before. And this year, I'm trying to get it up to 9 wins. And I think this team has potential to do it. We're returning 8% of our production from last year. And last year, in like 4 of the games that we lost, there were one possession games. So I think the team has potential to win 9 games this year.
Yeah, history would also tell us that Mike Leach going into year 3 in this offense in Starkville, it's only going to get better and better. And I firmly believe that Will Rogers is one of those quarterbacks, certainly in the SEC, but definitely across college football, who hasn't gotten enough respect. I mean, he broke a school single season record last year, over 4,700 passing yards, 36 touchdowns. Now he loses Mekhi Polk, his favorite receiver from last season, but there's still 3 returners, couple of running backs who really contributed last year in some of those wins for Mississippi State. You did mention some of those games could have gone differently, excuse me, down to the end. But I'm with you. I think State's one of those teams that could be a sneaky dark horse going into this upcoming season. James, thank you so much for the call. I love Coach Leach. Will forever be a Coach Leach fan because as I sit here in the studio in Charlotte, I have a bag of Nerds gummy clusters, which I would never have known about if it was not for Coach Leach and our post-game interview after the Vanderbilt game last year when we talked about Halloween candy, because apparently that's what we do in post-game interviews. He wasn't really into talking about football that day, so, you know, we pivot. It was Halloween. He hates candy corn, loves Nerds clusters. I can confirm they're delicious. I think I've gone through three bags. I accidentally ordered a case on Amazon. I should have realized when it was like $25 that it wasn't a singular bag. It was a case. But here we are. I think I only have two bags left. So shout out to Coach Leach and Hail State with the Nerds Clusters. I-Man is on the line. I-Man, I'm so glad to finally get to talk to you. I've only ever seen you chat with Paul, but I'm so glad that I've been given the honor to chat with you today. How you doing?
I'm doing well, and it's no honor. I'm just a regular guy. I'm just a caller. I'm not like all these other callers. I'm not this statistician. I don't have to talk about players and plays that pissed me off 10 years ago that I don't sleep over. I'm just a happy-go-lucky guy. And you know what? The Auburn Tigers are right in the catbird seat of just knocking people around this year. I don't know who they do it, but they're going to be better than number seven. Hell, if it wasn't – if you know, I'm surprised – that ESPN and the SEC hadn't already got Auburn number eight, assuming that Texas and Oklahoma are already here, but that's where they'd have them. But that's okay. That's okay. We're just going to go and play football. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go play football. And, you know, it's amazing that you got all them little nerd clusters. And you know, less miles, less something for Paul. Paul is big on kale and lettuce and any kind of green leafy substance. And you think Coach Miles left Paul a bag of grass?
I mean, I hate to do this, but we're up against a break, so I have to cut you off. Stay on the line if you want. More Paul Feinbaum Show coming up next.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.